All right, Psalm 119, and if you've got the Pew Bible in front of you, we'll use that translation, the English Standard Version. And let's pray as we begin our study. All right, let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we delight in your word. We ask that you would open it to us now, that the words of this psalm may become our words, its prayer, our prayer, and its blessings, our blessings, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, so Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. I don't have a handout, but you can pull the Pew Bible out, and we'll work from that. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. I'll explain why it's verses 9 through 16 in a couple of minutes. And let's pray the words of this psalm together, starting at verse 9. And we'll end with the glory be to the Father after verse 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All right, Psalm 119. What is the first thing you know about this psalm? If you know anything about this psalm, what do you know about it? It is a really long psalm. Not only is it really long, it is the longest psalm, and it is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. So if you flip through it, you know, in the study Bible, it takes about 10 pages to get through this psalm.
Is it not also the middle of the Bible?
It might be the middle of the Bible. It's pretty close. I don't know that it's exactly in the middle, but depends how they lay it out, I guess. So it's a really, really long psalm. I always tell the kids in confirmation class, I'd give them $20 if they can memorize this psalm. Not only is it challenging because it's long, but there's another feature of this psalm that makes it really challenging to memorize. And that is that it uses various ways to speak about God's word, and it repeats them frequently. So it's kind of like when we're saying the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, what happens? You start in one, and you find yourself in the other one, because suddenly the phrases are so similar that you can't quite keep straight which creed you're in, but you've said a creed, right? Or a combination of creeds, a new creed, right? This psalm is like that. There is so much repetition in Psalm 119 that it becomes challenging to sort of keep it in mind, because the same phrases, the same words get repeated but in slightly different ways throughout the 176 verses. Now, when we think about this psalm, it is 176 verses long, but there's a particular structure to this psalm. Does anyone know what structure this psalm follows? It's called an acrostic. You might remember an acrostic in grade school where you had to write your name, up and down, P-E-T-E-R, and you pick an adjective or something to describe yourself. An acrostic is like that. This psalm, Psalm 119, is an acrostic in which every section of 8 verses in the Hebrew starts with the same letter. So the first 8 verses, you'll notice above those it says Aleph. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and in Hebrew, verses 1 through 8 all begin with a word that starts with the letter Aleph. Verses 9 through 16 that we're going to look at today, each of those verses begins with the Hebrew letter Beth, the B sound. We lose that effect in English. I've never seen a translation that manages to translate this psalm with that sort of component into English. So you just have to sort of trust me on this. But it does tie in with Living Nativity. If you don't know what else to say in Living Nativity, you can simply memorize the Hebrew letters from Psalm 119 and say the alphabet as you're walking around for a century Bethlehem. Or find a Hebrew town's child and sit them down and begin to teach them Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, right? And have them repeat after you. You could do that. So, you know, this has a really interesting structure. So the example in English would be if you were to write a poem that had 8 times 26, so 160, 208 verses, and the first 8 verses begin with the letter A, each of them, and verses 9 through 16 begin with the letter B, and verses 17 through 24 begin with the letter C, and so on and so forth, until you've covered the entire alphabet. I don't know how you're going to do 8 verses that begin with the letters X or Z, but you can give it a try. Right? That's what this psalm is like in Hebrew. And I want to think about this for a second. So a psalm that has 8 verses that begin each letter of the alphabet, that cover each letter of the alphabet. So you've got the entire alphabet covered with 8 verses each. What might that suggest? And the center of this psalm is really about God's word. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what might that suggest about the place of God's word in our language and in our life? What might that suggest about the place of God's word in our language and in our life? You have the entire alphabet covered, 8 verses for each letter.
Complete. It's fundamental and essential.
Okay, fundamental and essential. There's something foundational about God's word, even for our language. It's complete, right? It covers the entire thing. You might say there's a reason that a Psalm 176 is meant to take time, not to be sped through, that we are to meditate on it and deliberate on it because it's meant to sort of capture the fullness of life and the fullness of language in this long, long psalm. I've never seen this unpacked, but my colleague, the senior pastor at the church I served in Fort Wayne, he had a theory. I never heard him really expand on it, but he had a theory that you could tie Psalm 119 to the life of Christ and walk through his entire life through this psalm. I've always been intrigued, wanting to ask him to sort of flesh that out a little bit more. Yeah, do it. But you know, notice that it's I guess the word I would use is that it is comprehensive. It's a comprehensive psalm that shows that God's word is meant to sort of be comprehensive for our lives and oversee every section of our lives. It is a psalm that rewards careful attention. So there are psalms that sort of, I guess, they stick pretty quickly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It sticks because we've heard it, but it also sticks because it's a memorable image. This is a psalm that probably doesn't pop out in the same way, aside from some verses. The Lord is your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. Or I switch that up, but that jumps out. But the rest of it pays deliberation and consideration as you go through it. I'm looking again at these verses. So starting at verse 9 through 16, this section, the second section, Beth, what stage of life is envisioned here?
Youth.
Yeah, youth. This section is geared toward youth. So we can just dismiss it because we're all past our youth, right? No, it's for us as well. But how can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question. Even if we're past the stage of being a young man or a young woman, it's still worth asking this question. This is a psalm in my family. I might have mentioned this earlier. With each child in the family, we've picked out a psalm that we've sort of given to them as theirs. And we've tried to memorize it. And I will be honest that the Psalms for Mary and Martha, I know much better than the Psalms for David and Helen. But this section of Psalm 119 was the section we chose for our son Lazarus. How can a young man keep his way pure? I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. To have in mind what sort of a person might be in view with this. Psalm 22. Just two verses, verse 5, so we're not going to read the whole thing. This is Abraham and Isaac, but there's a tie-in to that verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Genesis 22, verse 5. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy, the young man, will go over there and worship and come again to you." Verse 12. The angel says to Abraham, "Do not lay your hand on the boy, the young man, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." How can a young man keep his way pure? We ought to hear in the background Isaac, as this young man being brought by Abraham to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah, whose life is spared because God himself will provide a sacrifice, his son, later. Genesis 37, the same thing in Genesis 37, verse 2. "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy, a young man, with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father." A young man. How old?
17.
You can flip back to Psalm 119 now. But to get that sense, when you think about this, it's helpful to move from the abstract into something concrete. So rather than thinking just about sort of a young man in the abstract, you can think about Isaac, or you can being brought for the sacrifice, or Joseph at 17 years old with his coat of many colors, who is favored by his father, bringing the bad report about his brothers. There's one other example. We're not going to turn there, but you can also have in mind. Luke chapter 2. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a young man, goes where? He goes to the temple, and he sits at the feet of the teachers, and he instructs them in God's word. Thinking about this stage of life, and hopefully a stage in some ways that we've left behind, although there are things about youth that are wonderful and delightful, what are the particular pressures or struggles of a young person? Either thinking of yourself or your own children or grandchildren, what are the struggles of a young man or a young woman?
Peer pressure.
Okay, peer pressure, right? Easily influenced by others. Seeking the affirmation of other people, now typically beyond the affirmation simply of mother and father, which was great when they were young. Now they want the affirmation of their peers. So there's that tension, that struggle. What else? Okay, a growing independence, stepping out of their sort of the shadow of the wings of their parents and now stepping into their own independent life. As we get ready for confirmation for our young adults next Sunday, I've been meeting with each of them, and as I meet with them, I talk with them about what it means for them to sort of go through this, in a sense, a rite of passage, stepping from sort of youth more into the adult world. Not fully. I don't think any of the parents are ready to hand the keys of the car off to their young adults yet. But I do get them thinking, what's life going to be like 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 15 years from now? What is your life in Christ going to be like? What are the struggles or the tensions or the pressures you're going to feel? Because in all likelihood, and I let this be an encouragement for those of you who are gathered here, the five people that will be confirmed next Sunday, in all likelihood, there will be at least a period of years when we may not see many, if any of them, around here on a regular basis. And I don't mean because I expect them to walk away, but because their life may take them elsewhere, in college, or after college to a job or whatever. I mean, we have that to thank for Paul and Jamie being here. Paul is a long way from Indiana, and Jamie is even a longer way from California, because college and work bring you in other places. So be praying for them and be encouraging them. And I'll also make this comment. One of the studies that the LCMS did a number of years ago about youth, both those who remained in the church and those who didn't, one of the things that made a tremendous difference for those who remained in the church was that there were adults in the congregation who took an interest in their lives. Their pastor, but also others. And when I say took an interest, the study didn't suggest that you had to have a deep and abiding interest in them, but someone who knew their name and would say hi to them. Striking thing. So please pray for and encourage and reach out to the young people. Not only those, but certainly those young ones. So the question in Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he provides the answer, doesn't leave us guessing. By guarding it according to your word. What we have in this entire psalm, including in these 8 verses, is a meditation on the characteristics and blessings of God's word. And I want you to listen now as I read again these 8 verses. I want you to listen for what are the characteristics of God's word that it describes? What are the attitudes towards God's word? What are the blessings of God's word that are proclaimed here? And when I say God's word, there are a number of different terms that are used to describe God's word. We'll talk about those in a minute. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. What are the characteristics of God's word that you see reflected in this passage? What do we come to know or confess about God's word through these verses?
He sustains us.
Okay, it's a word that sustains us in some way.
It shows how fragile we are.
Okay.
You know, because we're weak and we're so easy to be fallen away by the things that sicken us.
Yeah, so there's a sense in which the word is this solid foundation to which the speaker of the psalm or the one who prays it or you and I, we continually are going back to it. So it's the thing that sustains us. It's the foundation on which we rest. It's something solid and firm for us. You know, in our world, things change. I didn't say this to our youth, but if you think 5, 10, 15 years down the road, think 5, 10, 15 years back. How different was your world? I didn't have one of these in my pocket. I will say it's not one of these. So if you text me, don't expect a long text back, because it takes 4 presses to get to the letter S. But I didn't have one of those at all in my pocket 15 years ago. I don't think. No, I didn't. How different life was. How different it will be. And yet how solid of a foundation is God's word for us. What other characteristics do you see of the word of God, Betty?
The word says stored. To me, that means memorized.
Yeah, there's the relationship of us to this psalm. This is a psalm that encourages us to sit in God's word, to meditate on it, and to store it up in our hearts. Betty?
When I say memorize, it's under a nap. I'm all weary of that Bible passage, but I can tell you, my confirmation class, I still recall what the pastor taught me.
Yeah, the things you memorize as a child or young adult will stick with you. So sadly, it's gotten a lot harder for us, right? But it doesn't mean we can't do it. I was thinking recently, Nancy Jane and Michael Maurizio are going through their training, Michael to be a pastor and Nancy Jane to be a deaconess. And in one of their recent classes, I haven't talked to them directly, but I heard that they had to memorize 76 Bible verses. Yeah, I want to get the list from them. So, a wonderful thing to store up God's word in our heart, thinking of our hearts as a treasure house for what? For the word of God. And I'll tell you what, we memorize lots of things. You know, I was not a Red Sox fan, but I can probably still tell you Wade Boggs' batting average from who knows what year. Because I had the baseball cards for it. I know he batted 363. I can't remember what year it was, but it was back there in the late 80s or early 90s, right? We can learn a lot of things. You watch TV, you know the commercials by heart. You could pause it, and you could probably keep that commercial going right on pace, right? God's word, store it in our hearts. It is a valuable thing that will go with us through all of life. So what are the attitudes toward God's word that we see here? Eric?
Yeah, God's word is truth, it's consistent, and it's not changing.
Okay.
Unlike our lives, it's something that we can put our feet on and anchor ourselves to and not be concerned about changing.
Absolutely. So God's word is unchanging and it is true. And that is a really wonderful thing for us in this world that is constantly changing so much. That's a gift for us. What else? Joanne?
I don't know how to answer your question, but I see it as if you store the Lord's word in your heart, then when Satan attacks you, you've got it right there. You don't have to go scramble.
Yeah, there's something about having the word ready to mind, that or having it stored away, that in the time of crisis, you know, what do we go to? This is why with military or police or other things, they train you for those moments of crisis so that when you get to them, you will fall back on what you know, on your habits, on your training, right? So that you don't have to figure out in the moment what to do because your instincts will take you there. Same thing with having God's word to fall back on. That when that moment of need comes, maybe we haven't thought about this verse in an age and an age, but suddenly it comes back to mind because we've stored it away. Ayla?
Going through the journey, the end of life with Barbara, you know, so many things she couldn't remember, the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, she remembered them in English, and then when Judy would go, she remembered them in Finnish, and there were so many other things that just were not there.
Absolutely. So I hope I can remember it in Finnish when I'm that age. But these are the things in old age, right? I think of, this is one of the ways I think not only of God's word, but of the liturgy as well. These are things that the young ones can learn. I mean, sure, they're probably not paying attention the entire time. Though, as I've said before, you've probably heard, every time we have Good Shepherd Sunday and I have a child in the range of like 1.5 to 2.5, you will hear an awful lot of baaing going on. There are sheep calling out from where my children are sitting. They may be doing something else, but they're listening, and they hear the word sheep and the word shepherd. Right? These are things that our little ones can step into, and these are things that our older ones can hold on to, even when other things are going. The Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, the language of the liturgy. And the more we store away, the more we have ready at hand for those times. All right, we've got probably like 2 or 3 minutes left. So one thing in this section, note the love for the Word of God. This psalm is so filled with that love, seeking after God, not wanting to wander from His commandments. And notice the different terms that are used for God's Word. In verse 9, it simply says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Talking about everything that God has spoken. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. There it's talking about the authority of God's word, right? The things that he commands. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That word there means really his promises. It's often translated in that way. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. It describes the binding nature and the established permanence of the word. With my lips I declare all the rules, all the just decrees of your mouth. The statements of God's word that have binding power over us. There are so many different terms here used for God's word. This is, again, one of the reasons why this is hard to memorize, because the word statutes and judgments and commandments keeps coming up again and again and again. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. It emphasizes the witnessing character of God's word. It is a testimony to us. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. It describes God's word as the supervisor of our lives, the precepts. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Think about the power of this way of entering into life, both as a young person and as an adult. Not having a casual relationship with God's word, but wanting to dwell in and hold on to God's word, seeing it, you might say, as the center of our life, as the thing on which all the alphabet hangs, on which our entire lives draw their source of strength from. And this is the language of this psalm. Now, I would say for us, you know, even if we may look back at being a young person and wishing that we had dwelled in God's word more, that we'd held on to it with a better grasp or known it at that time, it's not too late. You're still young. How long are you going to live, Joanne? No, that's not... How long? How long are you meant for?
Eternity.
You're meant for eternity, right?
But I want to live in here.
I know. You may not be here for eternity, and none of us would want to, but you are meant to live forever. So in the span of eternity, just how old are you? You're just a baby, right? So store up God's word in your heart, and rejoice in his word, and dwell in his word, and take the Psalms and make them your prayers. And you know, one of the things about praying this section of the Psalm 119, the more we pray it, you know what it creates within us? A love of God's word, and a desire to know his word, and a desire to be in his word. So this is a beautiful psalm that you might say draws us deeper into God's word and opens it up. His word as a comprehensive source for our lives and for our eternal life as well. Any questions or comments, and then we'll finish. Joanne?
I find the more I learn his word, it just Friday night I met a young woman who was having a tough time, and because I had gone through similar things and relied on his word and learned particular verses that meant something to me, I was able to talk to her and give her God's hope. And even though she's a Christian, she's struggling with things. And I mean, she's really young, and she said, can I have your telephone number? I really want to call you.
Yeah, you were able to share out of the riches of God's word that you have. Right. And it's and the reality is, no matter how well we know it, we need to hear it again. We need to be in it again. And the other thing is, the more you forget, the more you go back to it, and it's like you're reading it for the first time, right?
And every time you read it, it's even better.
Yeah, right. There's always more there. So my encouragement to you to take this psalm home with you this week, and let this psalm draw you deeper into God's word. And rejoice and delight in the things that he gives. And when it talks about his word, it doesn't mean, even when it says commandments, it's not specifically only zeroing in on the commandments, but it's also looking at his word and promises and salvation in Christ. Carl?
Would you mind sending out your study notes?
I will, yeah.
So that we can print it?
I'm sorry that I didn't. I thought I pressed print, and as I said, I think it probably didn't get that final print, and so, because they weren't sitting on the printer, unless someone grabbed them and put them, I'm not sure where. So I will send that out. And there's always an audio link. We don't always email it, but if you go on the website under, I think, the Listen drop-down, Bible studies, usually by Tuesday, Wednesday, Chip has that up. First he does the service, and then he does the Bible study. So thank you, Chip, for that labor of love in the sound room as well. All right, let's close up with prayer, knowing that the young ones may be running wild now. So. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for your statutes and precepts and commandments and testimonies, and for all of the ways in which you speak to us in the scriptures. We ask that you would help us to store up your word in our hearts, that it might guide our lives, that it might be ready on our lips in our times of need, and that it might be there to speak to others in their need as well. We pray that you would now bless us as we go, that your word may go with us in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen.